Jermaine. Jermaine to what? I don't know. Whatever you want to wrap your mind around. But I'll tell you this. This is the grooviest space in the internet, the spaciest and most freaky place you can hang out for the next hour or so. This is Crystal Silence League Hour, brought to you by LMC Radio Network. And we're going to talk about all kinds of hip and far out and cosmic things. So why don't you just pull up a chair for the next hour, come back in about a minute with your bad and freaky self, and let's talk about all kinds of groovy and things with Mr. John St. Germain and the Crystal Silence League Hour. So, take five. League Hour. I'm John St. Germain, the voice of the Crystal Silence League, and my goodness, our chat room is filling up with all kinds of guests tonight, what we like to call our live studio audience here in our live studio. And the Crystal Silence League, of course, for those of you who may not know, was formed around 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon, who, of course, formed it to present and perpetuate positive affirmation for all in need. And of course, in those days, people would send in prayers via postcard, carrier pigeon. True, I actually read that. Someone actually sent a carrier pigeon to him, and envelopes with letters in them with prayers and prayer requests. And three times a day, Mr. Conlon would go out with his crystal ball and project these positive affirmations, tonics. He called them, in mental treatments, he called them, to various people. We're going to discuss mental treatments today, in fact, and this may well be one of the most important and valuable episodes so far in our 28 episodes history, so do stay around. Of course, the Crystal Silence League fell into the silence when Mr. Conlon himself passed into the silence and was revived a few years ago by adepts of the Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church, reborn online in the CyberNet. And, of course, anyone is welcome to go and post a prayer online. Prayer is always free on the Crystal Silence League. And then, of course, for a donation, you can join and become a member with added benefits and added access to the website. And also you can buy crystals from us, crystal balls, and get lessons on how to use the crystal ball and instruction in the four branches of crystal gazing, which we discuss with great intensity on this program. And two of Mr. Alexander's, Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon's many publications, Crystal Gazing, and Codes, Lessons, and Instructions in the Four Branches. One of these books you can get free with a crystal, or you can buy them for $5 each, a wonderful investment. We always like to start with reading some of the many hundreds of prayers that we get a day. And I'm not exaggerating, we get hundreds of prayers a day. We usually print some of these out, and some of these I like to read online to start our program. And I never identify these by name. I always identify them by prayer ID number and initials. And I invite you, and in fact, I urge you to join us in sincere prayer for the following individuals who will only identify by prayer ID. And let's start. Prayer ID number 40273, MA, who prays for increase in prosperity and money. Prays for funds to be received in order to meet to pay her bills. She prays in the name of Jesus, and may this be to me be so. Amen. Prayer ID number 40272 MS, who prays for help for her car, healing for her car. She She prays that her car will drive properly until she can afford a new one until April of 2016. She needs expensive prayer for her car. Prayer ID number 40271, KR, needs healing and positive doors and removal of financial issues. She needs help and resolution in all these obstacles in her life. We now have prayer ID number 40270NY, who needs steady work and also the knowledge and skill to pass tests for dealer school to make enough money to take care of her family until her career takes off. We have prayer ID number 40269XBC, who has a general prayer request, who has an interview date on October or in August, who needs selection to get lecture in nursing in College of Nursing to get through with. It's a very convoluted prayer with lots of praising of various deities, but generally needs to get through this interview date to be selected in the College of Nursing and be accepted and pass the test. Prayer ID number 40268JF prays sincerely that her live-in boyfriend, who has left, returns home. May this reconciliation occur and the lovers be reunited. Prayer ID number 40033CB has self-sabotaging behavior that she wishes to end. She is a writer, and she wishes to finish writing her workbook and the nonfiction book and the novel. Many projects going. She fears success and has self-sabotaging behavior that she wishes to end. May she have the wisdom and the insight and the clarity to end these behaviors and enjoy the success that she deserves. Prayer ID number 40032RG needs healing from shingles, a very painful disease that she suffers from greatly. And may she be healed of this condition. Prayer ID number 40031ED needs to be brought together with her very cute friend D. They need to be brought together again. Prayer ID number 40030BMC needs an apartment. Having a hard time to find one and needs help locating a place to live. Prayer ID number 40029NB needs a job. Simple as that. She needs a job. May she find it. We have prayer ID number 40028LA. Has thoughts of depression and suicide and has stress, anxiety, disorders, bipolar disorder, and thoughts of hopelessness and despair. Prays for deliverance from all this and needs emotional stability and asks that everyone please pray for him. Prayer ID number 40027JM wants us to continue to pray for LC and herself and that their love grow stronger and that they be brought together. Prayer ID number 40026HRH needs justice for artists, that she and her friends be paid for work that they did on a public commission. Prayer ID number 40025LQM has problems in a relationship, needs the league to continue to pray for herself and her friend D for their friendship and relationship. And prayer ID number 40024LM needs also prayer for relationship. And finally, please, prayer ID number 40022S needs to have his enemy out of his life and to return to him that which has been stolen from him. May these prayers be looked upon with favor. May the league continue to pray for them. And let's take a moment to send positive affirmations and thoughts for all those who need them and for the world in general. it does my heart good to see how full our in-house audience is. This is the fullest our chat room has been in a long time. And I invite those of you who'd like to come and join our vigorous chat to come by and talk to us. You can ask questions. And also I'd like to invite you to call in if you like. Calls are always welcome, 657-383-0525, if you'd like to call and talk to the host, and the host being me. I'll answer all questions. It doesn't even have to be about crystals or the Crystal Silence League. Ask me anything about anything, and if I don't know it, I will make it up. Ask me about recipes, food, political events, historical facts, animal care, haircuts. If you're trying to decide what color to paint your nails, your toenails and fingernails, ask me that too. I don't care. Ask me anything. 657-383-0525, and I will be glad to do that. If you want advice on the practical use of crystals and crystal balls, that's really what this show is about. So call for that as well. And speaking of which, by the way, our stone of the week is howlite, H-O-W-L-I-T-E. A very beautiful stone. You can see in our picture show that howlite is a white stone with greenish, dark greenish occlusions in it, veins that run through it. And howlite is often dyed different colors. I don't know why. It's a very pretty stone, but it's a porous stone, so it will hold dye, and it's dyed all colors of the rainbow. So it takes on the qualities of howlite and plus the tint, which it's dyed in. Howlite facilitates tact, diplomacy, communication. Some of the higher vibrational energies, because it's associated with the crown chakra, of course, and so it opens communication, enhances negotiations, verbal, emotional, and personal expression, and subtlety and tact. So this is very good in business communications. It's also very good if you're having trouble getting your point across to your significant other. You know, if you argue a lot and you find yourself not negotiating, but yelling at each other until one of you gives in, and that's your idea of conflict resolution. You just yell until one of you gets tired, and you say, okay, that's what we're going to do. Howlite's a good thing to have around your house. Just have a little howlite in every room. Howlite stops howling. That's what I tell people. Howlite, if you're howling at each other, get some howlite and reduce the howling. That's just a good thing to remember. That's what I like to say. Tonight's topic, we're continuing our discussion of the healing branch, the fourth and final branch of Claude Alexander Conlon's fourth branch, four branches of healing. And tonight we're going to talk about that, and then also talk more about chakras, which seems to be a topic that many people are interested in. I'm getting emails and stuff going, oh yes, please do tell us more about chakras. I want to talk to you a little bit more about what we were discussing last week about the connection between the body and the mind. You understand that this is well known. I remember around the end of the 70s, I was in high school, and scientists was discovering, quote unquote, that if you visualized performance in sports, guess what? You got better at it quicker. If you visualized healing, you healed faster. And of course, if you look in very old literature, this technique has been around forever, and it was taught in Hindu and Tibetan yoga millennia ago, 2,000 years ago, and some say 3,000 years ago. But that the mind holds the key to all aspects of success and happiness in life is not a secret. It's well known in New Thought. It's a groundstone in New Thought. So it's no news that these mental states have a powerful effect on physical health. That's not news to us. And it's long been known that stress, anger, depression, and grief have measurable and often lasting effects on the body. Studies have shown that depressed physiological states respond immediately to the simple act of smiling, which, when you think about it, is pretty incredible that you can change this this whole, you can turn this around by smiling. Simply by smiling, you can trigger a beneficial physiological reaction, releasing endorphins and other mood-enhancing chemicals. There are two components to emotions, mental and physical. And sometimes people argue with me about that. I don't know why. If you want to do anything, post it on Facebook, and someone will argue about it. If you say the sky is blue, someone will go, well, no, sometimes it's yellow and red. So, you know, whatever. But you can experience for yourself. Love is sometimes accompanied by pleasurable physical feelings in the abdominal region. Well, other places too, but, you know, predominantly the abdominal region. Fear, and especially terror, is felt as a loosening in the muscles in the lower diaphragm. Anger can be felt is a tightening in the upper chest. And, you know, you speak of the warm glow of contentment, the icy fear and hot rage. There's thermal reactions as well. Pain also has a double component, mental and physical discomfort. When we experience physical pain, we're also likely to suffer anxiety, fear, stress, anger. Pain reduction techniques that you're taught, in fact, to deal with chronic pain consist mainly of separating the two, the mental and physical components, and quieting the emotional reactions that arise from pain. You allow the mind to distance and disassociate from the physical sensations. Now, another approach, which is advocated by Buddhist practitioners, is to replace those feelings of fear and anxiety with the more positive mental states of compassion and healing. I had sciatica many years ago. It's painful. So I don't know how many of you have had sciatica, but it's unbelievably painful. It's crazy pain, and you can't get away from it. You can't lay down. You can't sit up. There's just no way. You can't sleep. And you call it putting it in the lap of the Buddha. Basically, you take the pain, and you, rather than try to run from it or fear it or there's nothing you can do about it, really. And you take it and you disassociate from it. First of all, you don't say it's my pain. You say there is pain, and then you treat it with compassion. You really say, how are you today? How are you, pain? You know, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? And rather than claiming it, rather than saying this is my pain, you disassociate from it. You don't define yourself by pain. Your emotional state is not dependent upon the situation. And in this way, you find that you are not controlled by your feelings. You control your feelings, and this is an immensely freeing thing. It does take practice, though. Sometimes you move wrong, and the pain grabs you. And then you have to get on top and go, oh, how are you, pain? There you are. There's pain. And you see it as an entirely separate thing from you. You are one thing. Pain is another. So you replace the feelings of fear and anxiety with the more positive states of comparison and healing. We spoke of Thich Nhat Duc, the Buddhist monk who immolated himself to protest the occupation of his country. He doused himself in gasoline and set himself on fire and immolated himself, apparently maintaining a state of utter contentment and bliss, detached from the pain. John F. Kennedy was very moved by this and kept a picture of the monk on his desk. This was a very controversial act. Many people saw it as an act of sainthood. Many saw it as a unskillful act of suicide. Whatever it was an incredible act of mind control, mind over body control. But anyway, what this tells us is that the body-mind connection is a direct circuit to overall well-being. New Thought teaches that healthy thoughts lead to healthy body. And putting this idea to the test can only lead to beneficial results. I do want to say it is no substitute, however, for medical treatment for serious medical conditions. Don't make the mistake that Eddie made when she created Christian Science and think that you can treat diabetes through faith or cancer through faith. If you have a serious medical condition, you need serious medical treatment. However, this technique can reduce healing time, increase immune response, and enhance to a great degree your natural healing reflex, the body's natural healing response. But it's not a substitute when something serious goes wrong. But you know, I will tell you that there are cases where people have stopped bleeding using suggestion. People have used suggestion, such as hypnotism, to stop bleeding. I wouldn't want to rely on it, though. I wouldn't, if I gashed a vein open, I wouldn't want to, you know, say, listen to the sound of my voice, stop. These are isolated incidences, but there's no doubt in my mind that it is possible that we can learn these skills. I just wouldn't want to do it at the scene of a car wreck or falling off a 50-foot cliff. These are things that I would rather learn in advance to putting it to the test. But the techniques are simple. First, you realize that there's a perfectly healthy you already present in the mind's eye of the universal consciousness. All you have to do is connect with this image and draw it into yourself. Imagine this perfect, healthy, powerful you. Connect with it and possess it as your own. I mean, it's yours already, right? It's you. And the next step is to trigger the body's own natural healing mechanism. And this, as we discussed last week, is accomplished by cultivating an attitude of joyful expectancy, anticipation, and faith that healing is not only possible but inevitable. Healing is already occurring. All you have to do is get out of the way of it. Correct the thoughts. Get the fear, the anxiety, the doubt out of the way. Correct the thinking, and the healing will occur. You'll become the personification of this perfect body, this perfect healthy you. Healing will occur. Healing already is occurring. You just have to get out of the way of it. And if there's a specific body part which requires healing, focus your attention upon it with great intensity. Visualize it whole, healthy, and functional. Anticipate with that joyous heart and mind the healing which is occurring right now. It's already occurring. And allow the body-mind connection to do its work. The laws of attraction and correspondence will match the thought with reality. Remember the law of correspondence? For every thought, there's a corresponding reality. All you have to do is match the thought with the reality. Send the thought out there, and the reality will find it. I can tell you from personal experience that these things work. The techniques shorten recovery time from major surgery significantly. It boosts the immune system. It'll help medications work faster, and it shortens the course of infectious disease. You think yourself well. I'd like to go on from here. We're going to actually discuss and highlight some of these techniques in the newsletter this week or this month. I'm going to correspond some of the stuff from the show into the newsletter. So you read the newsletter, you listen to the show. They complement each other. We're coordinating these efforts so that they complement each other. And speaking of that, let's talk about some techniques using the chakras. Let's save the chakras for the second half of the show. Let's do that. We'll save that for the second half of the show. I want to go on with the mental treatments of Mr. Conlon. We've been doing some readings from his Inner Secrets of Psychology, Volume 4, which is very hard to get your hands on, by the way. I have no qualms about reading excerpts from these books. They're really hard to get your hands on, and the copyright, I think, expired decades ago because they were published in 1924, and as far as I know, the copyright, they've never been reproduced. And as you know, I know there's been a number of publishing houses that have published excerpts of these without, as far as I can see, any permission whatsoever. But we're going to talk about mental treatments. And the general rules Mr. Conlon tells us for mental treatments, the mental image of the desired condition is accompanied by the belief that the desired result will be accomplished. The mental image, energized by faith, is taken up and appropriated by the subconscious mind and then employed by it as a pattern or working plan which materializes in physical form in the physical conditions and physiological functioning. Always bear in mind this fundamental principle and explanation. Now, this is what I feel I'm about to read to you and tell you and excerpt and paraphrase. What I think is one of the most important principles that if you bear this in mind will change the way you think about your own body. And here's what Mr. Conlon has to say. Now, I wish to acquaint you with another important principle of the mental treatment of particular physical complaints. This method is to be used as supplementary to the method of visualization. not as a substitute for it. When using it, you must at the same time keep in mind the mental image of the desired physical condition and the belief, capital letter B, that you may cause it to manifest in reality. The supplementary method is directed immediately to the wrongly functioning organ or part of the body and to the cells of which these are composed. It consists of what has been called talking up to the mind in the organ or part, just as you would talk up to a disobedient child or person under your control whom you wish to act rightly. A well-known writer and teacher on this subject says, "You must talk to the organ or part that is functioning improperly, just as you would to a disobedient child or servant. The nearer you come to considering and treating the organ or part of it as it were an actual entity or person, the better will be its response to your treatment. There is mind in the organ, part, or group of cells, and you are reaching out to it. The best way to reach the mind in the cells, cell groups, ganglia, organs, nerves, or parts of the body is to address your commands to it just as you would to an actual person. You must think of the mind in the affected parts as a person who is misbehaving. You must remonstrate with, argue, coax, order, or drive the person residing in the organ just as you would with or to an individual. Sometimes coaxing is much better than driving, and sometimes the forceful method is necessary. You may either talk aloud to the mind in the organ, or else you may talk to it mentally. Tell it just what you expect of it, just what you intend it to do, just what is right for it to do, etc., and it will obey you. The mind and the affected organs, nerves, and parts of the body are like disobedient children who must be managed in one way or another. In dealing with them, you must be like the school teacher. The organ minds, think of that concept a minute, organ minds and cell minds closely resemble the minds of children and are often unreasonably stubborn. But if they are reached after in the right way, in a kindly but firm manner and tone, in most cases, they will readily obey and mend their ways. In treating an organ or part, you should tell it just what you would tell it if it were an actual personality, a childish mind. Even go so far as to call it by name, as for instance, hear stomach mind, or listen to me liver mind, etc. The organ mind will quickly awaken to your conversation with it, and you will become aware of its mental attitude of listening, and also to an extent of its degree of response to your talk. Sometimes a patting of the hand over the affected part or organ seems to awaken the attention of the mind within it. After securing this attention, you may proceed with your treatment in the way just mentioned." A well-known mental healer who experimented, I wish he'd give some names or something, extensively along these lines of directly addressing the organ minds, finally announced his conclusion that there is a great difference in the intelligence and general disposition of the mind and the various organs and parts of the body. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. This is amazing. For instance, he discovered that the heart mind is very intelligent and amenable to the mild, gentle, coaxing treatments, advice, or orders. Again, he found that the liver mind is mulish, stubborn, obstinate, and requires to be driven along by positive, stern commands. That's probably because it's drunk most of the time, in my family anyway. Another psychologist experimenting along the same lines reports, "I have found the heart mind to be gentle and obedient, needing but the slightest word to attract its attention and secure its cooperation. I have found the liver mind to be brutish, stubborn, and obstinate, needing the most forceful, insistent methods, something like driving a stubborn donkey along the road. I've also found the liver mind to be sleepy and lazy, requiring much effort to arouse it into an attentive, receptive state. The stomach mind I have found to be quite intelligent, particularly if it's not been brutalized by stuffing. It will respond readily to treatment. The peculiar thing about the stomach mind is that it seems to like jollying or praises and compliments. In other words, it has a sense of humor. Tell it what a good stomach it is and how well it can do its work and how much you trust it to run things right for you, and lo, it proceeds to make good and justify your praise and commendation. The nerves respond readily to this form of treatment along gentle coaxing lines. The circulation of the blood may be increased to certain parts or restrained in this way. In this way, the blood can be swept all over the body, creating a pleasant glow, or it may be drawn away from an aching head or a feverish brow. The bowels respond readily to a firm, kind treatment in which they are told to move regularly. it being well to name a certain time at which you expect them to establish a regular habit, in which case you must be sure to keep your appointment with them and give them a chance. In other words, don't break a date with your bowels. The organs peculiar to women will respond quite readily to this form of treatment. Regular menstruation has often been established by treating the organ minds in question in this way, the treatment being given a month ahead and thus kept up every day until the time of the regular period. In this case also, it is well to fix a date. Marking it on the calendar is a good plan. Commands of firm now, be firm and strong, have relieved many cases of weaknesses of the womb. Profuse menstruation has yielded to commands of slow now, easy, 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 not too free of flow, etc. This book was written in 1924. A little thought on the subject will show you that the special physical complaints which you wish to heal by the methods of mental healing may readily be grouped into a very small number of general classes. In fact, for the purposes of the present consideration, it is quite proper to reduce to the following three general classes, viz. 1. Disorders of the circulation, 2. Disorders of nutrition, and 3. Disorders of elimination. It is true that in the case of almost any acute or chronic functional disorder, there is found a combination of causes, the causes usually falling under the above classification. But even so, there is generally one particular class of causes especially active, so that we're justified in considering such cases under the proper classification as above announced. I will now point out to you the effective methods of treating each of these classes of disorder, and I'm going to give you some ideas of what's coming up. These methods and tonics involve crystal balls, but first, a word from our sponsor.
You are listening to the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. The longest-running conjure show in the universe, it may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time, Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa. This is the meeting place for all esoteric traditions. Candelo brings his insight as a Polero and eclectic spiritualist to his interviews with peers in Afro-Caribbean lineages, as well as representatives of numerous other spiritualities and religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. Tuesdays bring two wonderful shows to suit your taste. After the spiritual boost provided by the Reverend John St. Germain during the Crystal Silence League Hour, stay tuned for In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly provides up-to-the-minute reports on civil and social rights issues. Her one-hour show airs on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. On Wednesday nights, come out and join Liquid Libations. Andrea Weston hosts this informal sharing and showcasing of poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances, contributed by novices and professional wordsmiths. Call in and read your work. Liquid Libations may be heard on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the professor shares his knowledge of roots, delivers the lucky numbers, and explores the secrets of scriptural sorcery. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern, tax and license may apply, train departure times and Burma shape signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Well, that was just lovely. I love listening to that. It's so relaxing. When we last left off, we were going to look at treatments using a crystal ball for the three major classes of ailments to bring us to optimum health. Now, believe me when I understand, reading from these quaint books, we talk about stomach mind and liver mind and talking to our stomach and talking to our liver. You probably shouldn't do this around people who don't share our particular belief systems unless you want them to start talking to you very gently and trying to coax you into seeking professional help. You know, I can just see them saying, now, Chester, you know your liver doesn't really talk to you. Maybe you should go talk to someone about this idea that your liver is talking to you and your stomach. You know, your stomach really, there really isn't a little happy, funny man that lives in your stomach talking to you. Maybe you should, you know, go talk to Mr. Nice Psychologist and get on some little happy pills. So don't practice this sort of technique around people who don't understand you. And, you know, reading this in cold blood like this, it sounds, I can just see people going, you must be fucking kidding me. But no, this idea of personifying or anthropomorphizing parts of your body actually has precedent that goes way back. And it is a way of putting yourself in touch with parts of your body that normally we desensitize ourselves from. We are way out of touch with our bodies. And Mr. Conlon recognized this in this manner. And this is a very, very old visualization technique that you'll find in ancient schools of thought, the idea of getting in touch with parts of your body by anthropomorphizing them. You don't literally think of believe that your liver has consciousness, except there's a theory of holographic consciousness that your consciousness is spread out through your body. So take that with whatever you may. When you're talking to your liver, you're really talking to yourself, aren't you? And when you're talking to your stomach, you're talking to yourself. Remember back when we talked about consciousness? And anyway, so try it. It works. So treatment for equalizing the circulation. And Mr. Conlon says, first, practice with a crystal ball, using it to produce a strong, clear visualization of an equalized circulation, a circulation proceeding to all parts of the body, stimulating, energizing, building up, nourishing every cell, organ, and part of the body, charging every portion of the body with the oxygen that is being supplied to the blood by the process of right breathing. Then carry with you this mental picture, together with a feeling of confidence, faith, hope, and expectation that it will be reproduced in physical form according to your desire and intent. Then, lie down in a still, quiet place. Take the tension off every muscle and from the mind and nerves as well. Throw the mind blank for a few moments. Then hold firmly the thought and mental picture of the blood flowing freely, regularly and naturally to all parts of your body from head to foot, nourishing and energizing every part and portion thereof. At the same time, if you wish, you may speak mentally to your subconscious mind and the blood and its organs. This will be blood mind, bidding it gently and kindly to attend properly to the work of equalized circulation. Breathe easily and naturally, rather deeply, in fact, and with each inhalation, think or say to yourself, I am breathing in oxygen, which will serve to stimulate and energize every cell, every organ, and every part of my body. I am sending this energizing and vitalizing power to every part of my system in an equalized circulation, giving to every part of it just what it needs. What you're doing is a projection on your own body with your own oxygen. You're sending oxygen to every part of your body energized with the power of projection. I mean, can you see this? And you're using a crystal ball to do it. Rather than projecting outward, you're projecting inward, and this is just brilliant. Make a mental picture of the inflow of oxygen and energy and of its distribution to each and every part of your body. See it flowing down to your feet, to your legs, to your reproductive organism, to your organs of digestion, to your lungs, to your brain, invigorating, strengthening, and stimulating every nerve and nerve center, and sending energy, force, and strength all over your system. You will become conscious of a decided increase of warmth in the body during this treatment, and most likely will experience peculiar pleasant tingling of the nerves in the various parts of the body as the stimulating current passes through them. In the event of pain in any part of the body, you'll find that the practice of a modified form of the above treatment will tend to relieve or cure the distressing condition. In such treatment, you should send an increased current to the affected part, visualizing it as washing away the stagnant accumulations there, energizing and strengthening and generally freshening it. The idea of inhaling the curative energy and exhaling the painful condition held in thought as a mental picture will be found helpful in such cases. It's more than helpful. It's miraculous. Inhale the good air, exhale the bad air. Keep this up for 7 breaths, then rest a while. Headaches may be relieved by directing the flow of blood to the feet in the same way, thus relieving the congestion in the brain. Now, did you ever think of that? Instead of concentrating on the head, concentrating on the feet, it seems counterintuitive. Cold feet may be warmed in the same way. Colds may be relieved by a few minutes of deep breathing, accompanied by the proper thought, of course, and also by a little stimulation of the circulation all over the body in the same way above described. If you find yourself exposed and taking cold, you may head off the attack in this way. Rhythmic breathing is an excellent adjunct of this treatment. Also, the grand yogi breath, given in the preceding lesson, you'll recall that, will be found an excellent method of closing the treatment. There's a very close connection between breathing and the blood, as I have shown you, and you'll do well to include breathing methods with the general methods given you in the treatment for equalizing the circulation or for directing it toward any particular spot. The next section is on disorders of nutrition. And he says it's an axiom that the body depends for health and vigor upon proper nutrition. We talked at some length about how necessary it was to chew your food. And don't bolt your food, chew your food. And concentrate on absorbing the nutrition. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. In root work, it's believed that vegetation, plants, well, in root work, you petition the spirit that lives within plants. Essentially, it's believed everything has spirit. In shamanism, it's a shamanistic belief that everything has spirit. Earth spirits, mineral connects to spirit, plant connects to spirit, animal connects to spirit, which, when you think about it, every time you eat food, you're partaking of the spirit of the food. And we have lost sight of this. For me, wasting food is a terrible crime. I hate to waste food. I hate to waste food. It's a terrible crime to me. And I spoke also about the gratitude that should be expressed when we eat food, the amount of work necessary to bring food to the table, the sacrifice of bringing food to the table, the gratitude that we should experience when we're eating food, not only to the people who brought it to us, but to the food itself, the spirit of the food, the spirit of the animal, the spirit of the plant. If we eat with homage to the food, understanding that partaking of food is indeed a sacrament, not only do we get physical nutrition from the food, we get spiritual nutriment from the food as well. We take into ourselves the spirit of the food itself. And the reason I think there is so much obesity and overweight people is because we're not getting nutrition from the food. We're getting only a portion of the nutrition, and we're not getting the spiritual nutrition. We're always hungry, and that hunger is not physical. We have hunger for spiritual nutrition, and we're not getting it. We're only getting a small portion of the nutrition possible from food. We leave our meals unsatisfied. We get up from the table unsatisfied, and we don't know why. So Mr. Conlon talks about the essentials of healthy eating. He learns how to masticate your food thoroughly and to eat properly in response to hunger rather than appetite. And we talked about the difference between hunger and appetite. The remainder is simply a matter of directing the organs of nutrition to resume. the natural performance of the functioning and to forget the slipshod imperfect habits which they acquired by reason. And here he gives us a ration of abuse here, which they acquired by reason of your failure to observe the rules of healthy eating. And here's the treatment for the disorders of nutrition. Begin by using the crystal ball, producing by its means a clear, strong visualization of the organs of digestion and assimilation performing their work properly, digesting every particle of food, extracting every portion of nourishment from it, and absorbing the nourishing substances by assimilation and passing it on to the blood for conveyance to all parts of the system. As I've described to you, after throwing the mind blank for a few moments, which is also known as going into the silence, fill it with a picture which you have visualized with the crystal ball a little before and express your faithful hope and expectation that the mental picture shall become materialized in physical form and function. You may accompany this by verbal commands to the organs of digestion and assimilation to do their work properly. Tell them that they are able to do this work well and that you expect them to do it so. The commands to the stomach and intestinal minds should be friendly but firm. Those to the liver mind should be firm, strong, and commanding, for the liver mind is mulish, as you have seen. The following affirmation has been recommended in case of this kind by a well-known teacher of mental healing. I am sending a strong current of thought force to my organs of digestion and assimilation, and am thus building them up and causing them to function properly. I have the true hunger of a healthy person. My stomach is able to digest every particle of food that I send into it, and it knows that I will send nothing into it that is not right. It can digest and will digest every particle of food that I give it. I will assimilate every particle of nourishment extracted from my food, will extract every particle of strength and nourishment from every ounce of food eaten and digested by me. I am developing strong digestive and assimilative powers. My organs of nutrition are becoming stronger every day in every way. They are doing their work well every day in every way. This form of treatment, accompanied, of course, by right eating and right drinking and right breathing and right elimination is going to the poo-poo room, going to the potty, will tend to relieve and cure any and all forms of indigestion, dyspepsia, and other phases of imperfect functioning of the stomach, intestines, and liver. He makes broad claims of this stuff. The names of such disorders are legion, but their fundamental cause is the same and their general cure the same. As a writer along these lines has said, I would appreciate footnotes that says, Rotter is this guy. I have known of many cases of dyspepsia, indigestion, and stomach and liver troubles to be cured by this system of treatment, and I believe that 99% of troubles of this kind may be cured in this way, provided that persons suffering from them would go to work in earnest and put into actual practice this principle and method of treatment. But remember, Mr. Collins says, to your right thinking, you must add right eating and drinking, and the others of the seven health essentials if you wish to get the full results of treatment. And now we move on to a topic of everyone's interest, disorders of elimination. And he places a great deal of importance on this. He says, it is an axiom, mind you, which is an axiom is a fundamental truth, that without proper elimination, there cannot be perfect health. You understand just why this is and must be so. And I'm going to try to read this with a straight face. You understand that I'm a man, and I'm also an immature man, and I'm going to try to read this without making jokes. With a system clogged with filthy accumulations of waste materials of the body, there can be no normal functioning. It must always be a condition of more or less self-poisoning. I need not repeat what I have already said to you on this subject, nor need I have much to say to you concerning the matter of the application of mental forces to the work of proper elimination through the lungs, the skin, the kidneys. If you follow the necessary physical methods concerning these things, the method of right breathing, the method of right drinking, the method of right bathing, right sunshine and air, there will be but little needed in the way of mental treatment. Right breathing and the use of water in the proper quantities internally and externally will do the work for you. But when we come to the matter of the treatment of constipation or lack of normal functioning through the channel of the bowels, there is another side to the matter. Constipation is caused not only by lack of sufficient fluids and roughage in the foods and a lack of exercise of the abdominal muscles. There is also a mental element involved in the trouble. All this is true. This is all true to this day. This mental element is the discouraged condition of the subconscious mind and of the mind and the organs of excretion concerned, that is, the colon and its muscular attachments. In the hurry and bustle of everyday modern life, you have neglected to heed nature's daily calls to relieve your system of the waste material in the colon. The subconscious mind and the mind in the parts call in vain to you and become discouraged by your refusal to heed their demands. I'm just thinking of a discouraged colon. I'm sorry. Finally, they lapse into an indifferent condition of mind and attention. They cease to send the natural daily calls to you, for they know by experience that you will not attend to them. As a consequence, new and unnatural habits arise and manifest their power. They become second nature to you. When you habitually fail to answer nature's calls for daily evacuation of the colon, the system gets into the habit of absorbing the fluid portion of the fecal matter, leaving the solid portion in the bowels, where it becomes hardened and heavy and difficult to dislodge. In addition to this, deferred evacuation results in your establishing a new and injurious habit of the sphincter ani muscle, the little muscle which holds tight the outer opening of the rectum. Instead of the natural tendency to relax at the proper time, this muscle acquires the habit of continued contraction, an unnatural contraction which further retards nature's processes. Moreover, even the muscles which normally contract and make possible the movement of the fecal matter in the act of evacuation seemingly go on a strike by reason of your neglect. You feel, you know, it feels like it's a bad marriage. You neglect your wife or your husband, and they get depressed, and they just start misbehaving and, you know, getting depressed. The deplorable state of chronic constipation results, and that trouble breeds countless minor disorders. Every physician knows that if he can cure a case of chronic constipation, he will at the same time cure a vast number of minor ailments of which the patient has never suspected the real underlying cause. So here's the treatment for constipation. Begin by using the crystal ball in concentrated visualization. Visualize the colon and other parts concerned with bowel excretion as doing their work properly, performing their functions naturally and normally as nature intends them to do. Carry this thought and mental picture with you, energized by faith and hopeful expectation of the desired result. If you so desire, you may talk to the mind in those parts, the colon mind, I guess, expressing regret at your neglect and promising proper attention in the future, and asking the mind in those parts to help and cooperate with you and to do its work properly. Apparently the colon responds well to groveling from the tone of this. At the same time, you will find it advantageous to treat the sphincter ani muscle at the outer opening of the rectum in a special way, that is, by holding over it the thought and mental picture expressed by the word relax. In fact, in the whole treatment, there should be the thought and mental picture of the parts relaxing for the wrong habit and idea of contraction must be neutralized and overcome. In the meantime, you must increase your fluids by healthy drinking. You must mix a little bran or similar roughage in your food. I guess that stuff you buy at the store, you mix in it. The orange-flavored stuff, what's it called? You must exercise the fiber stuff. You must exercise the abdominal muscles by alternate expansion and contraction, first drawing in and then letting go out. Finally, and this must not be neglected, you should practice the well-tested and very successful plan of making an appointment with your bowels, i.e., with the mind in your bowels, you know, your bowel mind. Do not break a date with your bowels. Strange as it may appear to you, you can speedily get the bowels back into natural habits by fixing a certain convenient time in the morning and then conscientiously keeping the appointment. Go to the toilet at the appointed time, even though you have not the slightest inclination in that direction. Stay there until you give nature a fair chance to make good, quotation marks, quote, make good, unquote. But even if she does not respond at that time, be sure to go to the following morning at the same time. Before long, you will have set the new habit. After that, keep the appointment regularly each morning, letting nothing prevent you from doing so. Let nature see that you're making good, and she will do her best to make good also. This may seem very simple to you, but thousands of persons have been cured by this treatment without a drop of medicine, and after they have expended much money on purgative pills and drugs, without any permanent beneficial results. And mind you this, after you are cured by this method, you will stay cured so so long as you treat nature properly in the way I've indicated. So apparently constipation is Mother Nature's revenge for neglecting her. In this connection, I may say to you that the bowels respond very readily to thought and mental visualization, to suggestions, as the physicians call it. Experiments have shown that red pills and colored water, without the slightest purgative drug in them, in other words, placebos, have produced free movements of the bowels when they have been given to the patient under the pretense that they were strong purgatives. I've known physicians who have advised their patients to use their imagination strongly in the direction of thinking and believing that a slowly sipped glass of water was a dose of salts. Strange as it may appear, in a large percentage of cases, the desired and imagined results took place. Finally, I say to you this. When you cure your chronic constipation, you probably will have but little else left needing curing. That's a bold statement. For chronic constipation is indeed the mother, capital M, of a very large family of little ailments, a foul brood, I assure you. Kill the old mother snake, and the little ones die for want of nourishment and care. And those are the three major treatments for optimum health as taught by Mr. Claude Conlon. We have just a couple of minutes left. I'd like to tell you that there's a special treatment he describes for female complaints. And I will try to give you this. He says, regular menstruation is amenable to mental treatment along the lines of auto-suggestion applied by the woman to herself. She should fix her mind upon the day upon which her menstrual period should occur and do the same visualization. Miscellaneous complaints. He says that the number of miscellaneous complaints also respond. The cures are generally to be found in the observance of the seven health essentials, which are the visualizations that he described. Concentrated visualizations by the use of the crystal ball, the formation and holding of the mental image or ideal, the healthy, normal, natural condition desired, the talking to the minds and the affected organs and parts, the feeling of faith, hope, confidence, and expectation. These constitute the essence and gist of the special mental treatment for any form of complaint. Such special treatment added to the practice of living the life, according to the seven health essentials, will give it a person who will faithfully practice it a master key of health and healing. This is the essential principle. The rest is merely a matter of detail and adaptation to the requirements of the special cases. You can supply the detail and make this adaptation yourself. Merely a little common sense and thinking is required to do so. The work is fascinating, and your power of doing it will increase by practice and experience. So when you've healed yourself, even while you're proceeding to do so, you can heal others as well by the application of the same general and special principle. Many people, according to Mr. Conlon, have healed other people by accident, by the sheer power of their imagination. He tells an anecdote, a rather long anecdote, about a man who healed himself of all disorders except one, which seemed to resist his efforts. So he called upon his friends to help treat a case of the same trouble in another person. And he hesitated to do it because he couldn't treat himself. But he finally was prevailed to do it. So he made a cure of the trouble in the other person. And somewhat to his surprise, he cured himself. And the reason it was so, according to Mr. Conlon, was that in treating the other person, he created such strong mental images and ideals of the desired result that he aroused such a strong faith, hope, expectation, and confidence in his own mind that it produced a desired effect upon his own body as well as that in the body of the other patient. So, as he points out, there's a strong lesson to be learned here. Sometimes you can misdirect yourself. Sometimes you have to misdirect your own mind. And you have to take your focus outward. So I'm John St. Germain. It's time for us to go. Come back next week. We'll continue our discussion of various and sundry topics. We'll talk more about chakras. We'll talk more about the practical use of crystals. And hey, good night. Thanks for coming in. Thank you.